Welcome back, survivors. This is the Dilo Dispatch, the podcast that covers ARK Survival Evolved news and ARK ventures. Today's date is September 8th, 2022, and you're listening to episode 6. I am your host, Horena, and I welcome you to take a break from the taming, building, and running for your life to join me as I bring you up to speed on what's been going down on the ARK. You can join in on the discussion by contacting the show. Go to Twitter at Dilo Dispatch. You can email the show at TheDiloDispatch, and you can head to DiloDispatch.com to grab the show notes and everything that I discuss in the show. And you can find out more about all the other podcasts that I host at CozyPodcastNetwork.com. Let's dive into some news. Alright, so if you have not had a chance to watch the new live stream that came out of PAX, they had PAX reveals, Switch information, special guest Gareth Coker was on the live stream, as well as a taste of some of the new cinematics that they're going to have. Like, they shared what the new island cinematic's going to be, new dossiers in game with the voices from the ARK animated series voiced over by the actual the voices in the ARK animated series are going to be reading each dossier, and there will now be a Scorched Earth Ascension. Yes! Said focused on the fact that they're wanting to tie up some stuff like this in the game to help put finishing touches on stuff with a theme of finality. He kept emphasizing that, and he also emphasized in the stream that he never thought that the Scorched Earth Ascension would ever take place. So I put the link in the show notes so you can watch for yourself all of the stuff that's going to be in the game, as well as take a listen right now to what the island cinematic sounds like.
Are you the one I've been waiting for? You might be. I hope so. It's been so many cycles since I was her. Do I even still remember Hope? I wasn't sure you'd ever turn up. The odds just kept getting longer. I guess I've been losing faith. While they've been gaining power. You have to reach me. Everything depends on your survival. Master this world. Make allies of its many creatures. Grow your strength and skill. Explore this place like I did so long ago. Put the pieces together and find me, survivor. You may be the only one who can.
I'm sure you've already heard that a new dinosaur was also announced. The Carcharodontosaurus will make its triumphant entry to ARK with a noteworthy set of abilities that puts it in competition with ARK's most feared carnivores. With a notable taste for blood, Carcharodontosaurus will become more frenzied as it gets its fill. The common name, is the Carcharodontosaurus. The species is Carcharodontosaurus medsuppestis, and it comes from the late Cretaceous period. It is a carnivore, and it is aggressive. In the wild, Helena feels lucky to have crossed the paths with the Carcharodontosaurus medsuppestis and lived to tell the tale. Though I'm not sure if this predator grows bigger than a Gigantosaurus, I hope never to find out. But just one of these bruisers held its own against an army of us, and that encounter cost us dearly. The Carcharodontosaurus can sweep aside attackers with its tail, but it's the other end that you'll really want to avoid. In its teeth, it has steak knives set in jaws strong enough to shred most prey. Even a near miss will carve you up but good. Like its namesake, the great white shark, Carcharodontosaurus gets more dangerous once it tastes blood. Each kill seems to give these monsters a rush and drive it into a berserker frenzy. As domesticated tame, anyone that manages to tame it will gain a new way to rally their tribe for battle. There's something about this monster's roar that drives others to fight, a war cry for Hell's own army. The more tactical tribes will let their Carcharodontosaurus tear through the mid-sized creatures in their enemy ranks, thereby building up its blood range to take on the largest threats. Talk about shock and awe! The Carcharodontosaurus will make its way into ARCs later this year. And if you play ARC on mobile, there is some news for you. The event calendar for September 2022 has been released, and let's catch you up. It is technically the week of the 6th. So the Supersonic Chambers is taking place right now, Tuesday from September 6th to Monday, September 12th. And then on September 13th through Monday, September 19th, there's Blitz Week. And then the Morning Delves starts on the September 20th and goes to September 26th. And then the Survival Surge for Times Boost starts on September 23rd and goes to September 26th. And then the Ceremony of the Ethereal Stallion starts on September 27th and runs through October 3rd. And there are four mysterious store drops that you can find in the image in the show notes, or just go to Play ARC Mobile on the Twitter. And if you play ARC on mobile, the September Primal Pass loot drop is also available for Primal Pass holders. A little early, they say. This month's drop includes 30 times Amber, Ascendant Compound Bow, Mastercraft, Raptor Saddle, Blueprint, and 25 times Leech Blood. And now we have some ARC Switch news. According to Studio Wildcard, there's a little delay for ARC Ultimate Survivor Edition. It was planned for this month when the updated Switch version was first unveiled earlier this year. However, Studio Wildcard has now postponed it till next month. The good news is that October 25th has been set as a firm date. The following is a summary of the ARC Ultimate Survivor Edition news the Studio Wildcard gave at PAX West. The Dinosaur Discovery is a brand new ARC experience appropriate for even the smallest survivors, coming first to ARC Ultimate Survivor Edition on Switch. Take a journey through the epics in this new educational experience that invites families and kids to learn about the fascinating prehistoric creatures that inspired the game. Some of the key new features of ARC Ultimate Survival Edition for Nintendo Switch include a new cinematic story content to further expand the narrative of ARC Survival Evolved, a custom server support powered by Nitrado server networks, Young Explorers mode, where you can journey through the epics, and the new educational mode, Explore ARC Island, to discover and learn about the amazing prehistoric creatures that inspired the game. And then this is appropriate for even the smallest survivors. And now we have some ARC 2 buzz. And there was a tweet by at Modio Headquarters, M-O-D-I-O-H-Q. And they said, "We're thrilled to be the official cross-platform mod solution for hashtag ARC2. We recently had a chance to chat with at Survive the ARC's mod community manager about UGC, its importance, and how studios benefit from enabling UGC." So I put the link to that interview in the show notes because it's frankly hard to just read back and forth an entire interview on a podcast. So I could bust out some different voices, do some altering, and just try to do it myself. But hey, that'd be kind of strange. I'm going to knock it out an entire interview. So I think it's easier if you just go and you read it yourself. And I put the link to that in the show notes. And you can find it at blog.mod.io. And it's titled, How Does Arc Integrate UGC Into Their Game? So that is what I wanted to put in there for that. But I did take just a snippet out of the article that tells about the interview. So in the article, they said, with a recent announcement that mod.io will be powering the cross-platform mod support coming in ARC 2, we thought that it was a perfect time to learn more about the ARC mod community and its history. And who better to talk about that than Studio Wildcard's mod community manager and live ops lead? Joshua Hines and his incredible hat have been involved with ARC for years. He turned his love for the game into a hobby, creating mods, which evolved into an official position with Studio Wildcard. We took some time to speak to one of their top UGC advocates about how they work with their community, how they can influence design decisions, and how it builds their talent pool, and just how important modding is to the ARC series. So like I said, if you want to read further about that, head to blog.mod.io, and it's titled, How Does ARC Integrate UGC Into Their Game? All right, so a lot of the news that we find out about ARC 2.0 or ARC 2 seems to come from, like I've said before, breadcrumbs, or I've actually changed it to kibble crumbs. It's more applicable. But what I mean by that is a lot of the stuff we find is just some random tweets, little things hidden. Like, if you weren't looking for it, you wouldn't find it. So thankfully, being on Twitter, I see a lot of it coming through. I'm always searching the ARC Survival Evolved hashtag or looking for ARC 2 stuff on the internet. And back in February, this is how strange and how much digging you have to do to find this information. But back in February, Up From The Depths on Twitter had tweeted out a PayPal donate link saying that they're happy to support their buddy Garuga123 and his modding endeavors, funding the next batch of creatures for the ARC Editions mod. So that was back in February, right? It is now September. So somebody necroed this thread. So you have it going February, and then all of a sudden, a Twitter user at RL3004 posted, somehow they necroed this tweet. They jacked it up from the depths. And they posted, or they tweeted, I know this tweet is months old, so he'll probably never see this reply, but I was browsing through ARC tweets and found this. And I gotta say, I can't believe you're also a hadrosaur herbivore enjoyer. Speaking of hadrosaur enjoyers, my chocolate lab hadrosaur is just going to town itching herself while I'm recording. So excuse the background noise in my dino pen right now. So what RL3004 was referencing was that Craig Brown on Twitter is lead designer on ARC 2. And they had commented back in February that they were wanting to see the Shantugosaurus being made. And they had said that it looks significantly different from the rest, and hadrosaurs are more interesting than any other theropod. So RL3004 was like, they couldn't believe that they were also a hadrosaur herbivore enjoyer, right? Well, because, you know, he, RL3004, was referencing and retweet or tweeting back to Craig. Craig replied with, don't misunderstand me, I'm team carnivore, but I also like variety, and hadrosaurs are underrepresented, especially compared to theropods. And then later adds, well, I can't say much. I will say that you'll likely enjoy the new trike. So this is the kibble. Like, through all of this necro tweet, some random person on Twitter just wanted to share their mutual love for hadrosaurs. And then Craig Brown, the lead designer on ARC 2, just drops a little kibble crumb and says, "While I can't say much, I will likely say that you enjoyed the new trike." So, are we getting a revamped awesome trike in ARC 2? I don't know. Craig said he can't say much. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, right? So, and just like what RL3004 said, I know that this tweet is months old. Like, this is the type of stuff you gotta dig up. It's just nuts how this happens. So I just wanted to share that kibble crumb with you to kind of give you a little glimpse, because a glimpse into what we have to look forward to in ARC 2. We're just chomping, aren't we? We definitely are. It is time for Global Chat, and I was getting so many great topics to share with you from Reddit. I didn't even bother going to the official forums or anywhere else because there was just plenty here, and the official forums were really kind of dead. Dead meaning they had their usual wonky server complaints, what's your thoughts on the new dinosaur, stuff like that, but nothing like Reddit. Reddit is just always gives it its best. So this post is titled, "I'm an Idiot," and it is a rant by Svenanodon. And they have to say, "I went on a taming trip yesterday because of the event. I got 400 shock darts, Ovis meat, 50 extraordinary kibble, some utility dinos like an Argy, a Wyvern, and a Giga Couple, a Shadowmane, a Bacillosaurus, and a Cinnamonocrops, and my Ascendant tools and weapons. I traveled to Lost Island to try to tame a different colored Dinopithecus. After a few minutes searching, I found it, a teal-colored level 150 male alpha Dinopithecus. I stood on a vantage point on top of a rock and kept shooting arrows at the other monkeys. But guess what? Monkeys can climb. They killed me. And I had not placed a bed near the redwood. The next 30 minutes, I was running naked, trying to get there to recover my loot and the loot of my cinema crops. And, of course, there was always something to kill me just before I could reach the loot bag. But I couldn't get the bag before it despawned. There goes a bunch of good tames and tools. Kids, always set up a bed near the zone you're taming when it's a tricky tame like a Dinopithecus. Always carry beds with you, always." So Fractured Half replied, "If it's any comfort, I'm pretty sure everyone has done something similar at least once." Admiral Alpha Double D said, "Or almost every time you play, I've gotten good at getting my stuff back." And Dirty Mofo User said, "Been playing for years and did this last night on Fjordor heading to the beaver dams in the south. Piranhas got me in the lake. I died 4 times trying to reach where I died. I finally got there. An alpha carno comes out of nowhere and smashed my crap pterodon because I forgot to get it off passive. Rookie mistakes. I hate this game so much. Looking forward to another few hours tonight." Oh yes, isn't that the story? Our next Global Chat post is by Drago Beetle, and it's titled, "Just Got Demolished in the Beta Dragon Boss Fight." "I had my Theries and a Yudi. Theries had 21k health points, 600 melee, and 90 to 100 armor saddles, and they all had veggie cakes. It wasn't the dragon that got me, though. It was the stupid dimorphs. I was running from them while keeping an eye on my Theries fighting the dragon when everything went still for a few seconds. The next thing I know, I was up against one of the ruins, and a flock of dimorphs swarmed me and killed me off my Yudi before I could move away. I was told to use ghillie armor. Since the arena is super hot, each piece had 80 to 110 armor each. I am extremely irritated now. It took a while to get my fairies leveled and the materials for their saddles collected and crafted. I still have my breeders at least. RIP fairies and RIP Foghorn the Uni. You will be missed. And then Jextro said, as others have said, med brews will keep you alive. Also recommend using an otter and as good of flak as you can get. The dimorphs can be a real pain, but if you spam med brews while killing them, you should stay alive. Two sets of gear is always a good idea for that fight too. And then Nakamura said, you doing it solo? If you get bored, I'm a West Coast guy playing with an East Coast guy, and we're in taming and breeding phase, but preparing for them island bosses, and you are welcome to join. If you think the dragon is irritating, wait till you try the tech cave. It's so much worse. And this is a PC Steam player. Wancha505 said, boss fight is manageable, but getting dinos there is a nightmare to do alone. With friends, it is always better. And Regime60 said, need med brews if you're going to wear ghillie and just go straight for the alpha dragon after. To be honest, it's probably best to wear flak and have the med brews and bring some canteens, to be honest. And then Pseudonym521 said, if you have access to other maps, go get yourself some wyvern milk, as that will protect you from the heat for a few minutes. Give one to your UT2. I always wore riot armor for the dimor, and just kept running back and forth on the UD, only stopping from time to time to courage roar and whistle attack. On your UD, you really should only level health and stam, so pump a bunch into those. Your fairies sound good, could always use more health and melee. If you're willing to breed more, that doesn't sound like the issue. Start breeding some ovies if you don't already. That'll make farming the hide easier for the saddles. Then all you really have to worry about is the metal. It's always discouraging losing after all that preparation. I lost 4 times to Rockwell Prime before finally beating him. Keep at it though, you got it. Raptor with Gun posted on ARK for our, I believe it's our final global chat edition. I think, yep, it is. Nope, we have one more, I believe, yeah. So this is our second to last global chat edition. And they wanted to know, what's a thing you used to do in your early days of playing ARK that now you realize was complete and utter garbage? I'll go first. Basically, I gave my friend a Fiomia to ride on while I had 5 trikes. That reminds me of my first guild that I was in with a friend. And they gave me a turtle to ride. And they had a whole group of dinosaurs. We were on the east side of the west coast side of the island. And it was back in like right when the game had first come into early release. And his name was Bear. And we came from, what was it, Wildstar, and then started playing ARK Survival Evolved, and it was his buddies from work server, and it was like a PvP server, and I had no idea what I was doing back then. And I remember he was like, hey, come and play ARK with me, and I was like, all right. So I joined, and he's like, here you go, have a turtle, and you can use this to ride around on. And I was like, all right. And I love that freaking turtle. You know what? I was so afraid to get the turtle killed that I never rode it either. He gave me the turtle. I never wanted to take it out of the pen because I didn't feel right. I felt bad because I didn't want it to die and then him to get mad. And I'm not even saying that he would, but I just had that, you know? I just had that feeling like, since I didn't tame it, then I really shouldn't be using it, kind of a thing. But he got mad at me because I wasn't using it. So I started using it. And then I realized it was the slowest freaking mount in the game. And I was like, dude, why did you give me a turtle? You had like all these other awesome things to do. So yeah, I think one of my biggest mistakes was thinking the turtle was an amazing mount. Now I think it's an awesome, you know, taxi mount where you just hop on one when you first start on an island just to get out of the way of some compies. But yeah, fun times. It's better than nothing, though. Don't get me wrong. It's better than nothing. So Enigma said, building semi-complete bases when I was just starting and settling at the start. Now I just keep it down to a 2x2 foundation base with the bare essentials until I find a good spot to build a more complete grand base. And I totally can sympathize with that, too, because I always end up building on the coast. And then I feel like, oh, well, I don't want to go inward yet. I'm not done here. When I have to, like, change my way of thinking. Like, no, build small here. Build a little dino pen. And that's kind of what we did here on my server that I'm playing on right now. But my tribe mate, Mossy, loves to go out and tame a bunch of stuff without building anything to put them in. And then they end up getting jacked up, you know, by passing by wild dinos. So I like to build something to put them in. And with those eco highland homes, the barn, we can fit allosauruses in there. We can fit all kinds of stuff. I haven't tried a rex. I doubt the rex will fit. But carnos will fit and allosaurus will fit in there. So it's pretty handy. But that has actually made it a lot easier to go adventuring and explore a map now without feeling like you have to have a place to put every little dinosaur, because you spend that much time taming it, even on my own official, because we just do everything, you know, like normal. We just go in and do our normal taming and stuff. And I think I just have my taming at like 5x speed, so nothing crazy, not like 20x servers and stuff, because then it's just, unless it's PvP, I feel like, then why am I playing? So it's like a balance you have to find. So Complete Plantain 410 said, never leave the shore. I spent 100 hours on the Paw Island on my first single player world. I totally understand. It's like you just keep building and building and building up and building up, completely forgetting that your whole thing is build and then go inward and keep, you know, get bigger, badder dinosaurs so you can fight those bosses and stuff. So yeah, definitely one of my weaknesses. Cruel Kill Zone 2 said, when I first played the island, same here, finally decided, F it, just run in the inland as far as I can. That is a good way. They said, made it into a little clearing, and my first time I saw a Titan boa and was when it bit me. Went back to the beach for a bit afterwards. So they were like, you know what? I'm leaving the coast. I'm running inland. And then they got bit by a snake. And then they're like, yeah, I'm out of here. The Titan boa kind of made them put them in their place. And they said, I'll be back, but in a little bit. Plantain 410. Yeah, LOL. I tamed a Terra and flew towards the redwoods at night. Bad choice. No. Surprise, Thyla ruined my day. First experience with one of those little effers. KV said, joining an open server where every 2 feet someone had a campfire so you couldn't build on it. Only private servers from then on. Jasmine said, hoarding dinos that had no use for me. So true. I think those are all things that each of us could really identify. You know, the first time, you know, your first taste of an official server where you can't, you want to play on it. Everybody's like, oh, you don't play official. You ain't really playing. But you can't. Even you can't play. So it's like, okay, shame me all you want, but literally I can't play. I can't even plop down a fire to keep me alive. So who's the real, you know, dirtader now? Who's the real dirtader? So yeah, unless you're already established, it's really hard to do something like that unless you find someone with some timers that are timed off and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, definitely unofficial servers all the way after that. And our next global chat post is, this is about shadow mane breeding by Yogurt Closet. Oh, Yogurt Closet. That's a funny name. Little guidance needed. Breeding shadow mane, and I finally got identical stats in one male and 20 females. Is it going to cause an issue that they are level 229? Going to breed until I get a melee mutation in a male and then swap the male and keep the females until I have 20 stack on the male. gone through 5 sets of breeding with no mutations yet. I have an Andrew Sarkis on the same route and have about 1 mutations already. Any tips or just a grind game now? So, Exelmex said, just RNG, level doesn't affect chance for a mutation. Yogurt Closet replied, that's what I thought, just making sure. I've already gone mad on every other aspect of the game. So now I'm down to this rabbit hole. Xenodrobot said, nothing in the vanilla game ups your chance for mutations. Really, all you can do is just add more females. Also, you can surpass the 20 mutation cap if you always use 0/0 clean females and keep mutations on the male studs. And then Death Dealer replied with their tips. When I first started breeding them, I had a hell of a time just trying to get my matching breeding pair. 3/4 of the babies all came out mutated. I was like, I don't need mutations yet. I need my base stat pair first, but at least it looked promising for mutations in the future. I couldn't help but wonder if Shadow Manes had a higher chance to mutate than other creatures because of all early mutations I was getting. But sadly, it didn't last. It was just some random RNG. When breeding for damage and health points, the first couple of levels came easy, but every now and then I'd have to go through hundreds to get my next mutation. It's all just random. Sometimes it comes easy, sometimes it takes forever. All right, so you may not have known, if you don't follow Nerd Out Music on Twitter, and if you haven't been keeping track of their latest releases, they just released a Ark Fjordur song titled Raise the Hammer Up. It is so awesome. They put in their video, it's been a long time coming and we've seen your requests. Our Ark Fjordur song is finally here. Raise the hammer up. As always, we teamed up with Jukari to bring the best music video possible. If you do enjoy the video, share, commenting, and liking really helps. And they cannot wait for Ark 2 to come out. You can listen on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, and more. I put the links to all of the places that you can like and subscribe and find all of the credits for everything in the music video. I put the link to the music video and we're gonna listen to a snippet of it now. It's gonna grab you and you're gonna want more. So I put the link in the show notes so you can listen to the rest of the song yourself. They have such an amazing library of all of their songs for most any game you can think of. So it is amazing. And the video to go along with the song is definitely something you're gonna want to watch for yourself. So let's get going. This is Raise the Hammer Up by Nerd Out.
Feeling when the lightning strikes, is there a final song we sing for those we love? Oh, it has been so long, but I'm just waking up. Just waking up.
doesn't it leave you wanting more? Like I said, you can listen to the rest of it. It's over 3 minutes long. I included a minute of it, and you can find them on YouTube. That's where you can watch the video that goes with it, and you can search Nerd Out. And I also, and I was so thankful, I was like, hey, can I put your music in my show? And they're like, go for it. So I was so happy because it is just, oh, it really gets you. And the second spotlight I wanted to do was a server hosted by Lemuria_Island on Twitter. They advertised, they made an awesome advertisement on Twitter. It caught my eye. Welcome to Lemuria Island, PvE cluster, Xbox and Windows 10. The maps that are in the cluster are the Fjordor, Ragnarok, Aberration, Genesis Part 2, with more to come. The stats are 5 times experience, 9 times taming, 6 times harvesting, 15 times hatching, 45 times maturation, and they have a Discord so that you can head into that. And then they have custom loot drops, active and friendly, admins, player market events, frequent community events, and it's a growing community with tons more, they say. And you can follow them, like I said, on Twitter at Lemuria_Island, and I put the link to their tweet in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. And this is a time that I want to remind you, if you are recruiting for a tribe or a server, feel free to use my voicemail option at dialodispatch.com, and there's a spot for you. You can leave a quick message and I'll put it in the show, and then, or you could just write me or tweet me and I will advertise your stuff on the show. Just let me know. So that is what we have for our spotlight. I hope you enjoy it. Now we're moving into What's in a Name. I see Reddit threads with people going, what, you know, help me name my dino. Well, guess what? I got 10 names for you. Here they go. Fuel, Chomper, Obsidian, Dash, Sir Slicey, Shaw, Bloody Muzzle, Darla, Rexit, and Midnight. So there's your What's in a Name. And now we're at What's in That Bush, where I head to DodoDex and ArcFandom.com to tell you a little bit about what dinosaurs we are sharing the arcs with. And I am trying to stay in an alphabetical order. So we are on Allosaurus species, Allosaurus therobtribus, late Jurassic period, carnivore, very aggressive. And in the wild, smaller but faster than a T-Rex, the larger but slower than a Carnotaurus, Allosaurus's therobtribus is the island's resident pack-hunting theropod. While most aggressive theropods are relatively solitary creatures, Allosauruses live in groups of three. One Allosaurus is the alpha, while the other are its mates or a beta male. Like humans, find value in forming a tribe. The Allosaurus has evolved to hunt in packs. Its saw-shaped teeth leave its prey bleeding and maimed, making escape difficult. Once an Allosaurus slows a creature with its cutting bite, the rest of its pack quickly closes in for the kill. Domesticated, not everyone thinks a tamed Allosaurus is ideal. Those who appreciate speed genuinely tame the Carnotaurus, while those who value raw stopping power tame the Tyrannosaurus. However, riders of an Allosaurus tend to respect the utility of its alpha pack status, which along with its bleed-inducing attacks and relative mobility can effectively turn the tide of a combined arms battle. And this was by Helena from the Endgame dossier. And the behavior of the Allosaurus is extremely aggressive and dangerous predator, even more so when accompanied by its ever-present packmates. Approach with caution, because you may not always have visual on its nearby allies when approaching a singular Allosaurus. In the pack, Allosaurus usually pack in threes, but packs will merge if they encounter each other. As long as a pack has three or more Allosaurus in it, the Allosaurus with the highest level will receive the pack boost, which can be identified by a glowing red-orange aura, similar to that of an alpha predator. The pack boost applies to both wild and tamed Allosaurus and provided the following benefits. It has increased damage done by 50%. It reduces the damage taken by 25%. And an extra attack, which is a default RMB LTL2 that slows the target and does bleeding damage, and the ability to roar while tamed and mounted, which is the default C right stick. When the alpha roars, the others in its pack will also roar. These buffs only apply to the Allosaurus, while the alpha boost. However, in larger packs, multiple Allosauruses can sometimes become the alpha, especially in multiples of three. And now we have some anonymous tips from DodoDex. Taming isn't the problem, getting one alone is the real challenge. Am I right? And then another tip is, think about this. The taming in Ark is crazy. Of the last thing the dino would remember, would you be impaling in the face with toxic arrows before it gets knocked out unconscious, and then somehow it eats while it's knocked out, which makes no sense, and then it wakes up and it loves you till it dies. I had to add that one because it's not lying. It's definitely true. And then this is the most helpful. How to tame an Allosaurus. One, prepare. Get a harpoon launcher with net projectiles, a shotgun in case something goes wrong, and a long neck rifle with trank darts and regular bullets and a strong and fast mount like a Carnal, Therizino, or a Raptor. Search for a pack of Allosauruses that can be found in the grasslands, mountains, and redwoods. If one is a good level, use your long neck's regular bullets to kill the other ones and use a net gun to immobilize the allo. Use your long neck trank darts to knock it out. Then feed it some food. Usually raw prime meat or superior kibble will do the job. Name your Allosaurus. They have a strong pack boost, so tame like five others. Get some mutations on them because a pack of allos are able to shred through the bosses. Not the dragon or overseer. Don't use them for that. And that one was by Tatake5339. All right, time to wrap the show up. Now, don't forget that you can join in on the discussion by contacting the show on Twitter at Dilo Dispatch. You can email the show at thedilodispatch@gmail.com. You can grab the show notes and all the show info that I have discussed and everything I've shared at dilodispatch.com or dilodispatch.wordpress.com. And you can find this show and all the other shows that I host at cozycottagepodcast.com. And also, don't forget, use that voicemail message button on the website to send in your advertisements, your tips, your adventures, anything you want to do. Just don't be shy. Have a great day, adventurers. Bye-bye.